So that wraps us up with that one. So we'll take some time here, and we're going to talk about grace. I want to really go back to when we did the convention, and we talked about that scripture in 1 Corinthians 15. So I had a lot of questions about that, and then I'll tell you why there was a lot of questions about it, because I think it's the deepest scripture in the Bible. And it's definitely the most sobering. So let's do that. If you want to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. When I came to this word, I grew up, I think, and I've told you guys all this before, I grew up Catholic. And we weren't very good Catholics. We went Easter and Christmas. If it didn't interfere with anything else. You know, we had a Bible, I've told everyone this, we had a Bible, big giant Bible, had a lot of pictures in it that really sat on a buffet on its own stand, but it was art. We didn't use it. We didn't open it. I honestly don't think I had my own Bible until my cousin Ron Trujillo brought me to that Bible study, which somehow or another came out of Living Waters when I was 20 years old. And I think that was my very first Bible. And it was a Scofield 3 King James. And it didn't have any place to write notes on the sides and the margins. It was a little skinny and stuff like this. And then after I got my first wide margin Bible, I thought I had hit the lottery and started writing stuff down. You know, I've talked about, I think Jared brought up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, that's the story that caught me. And the fourth looked like the Son of God. And he wasn't standing outside the furnace. Come on out, you're safe. He was in the furnace with them. In the fire. In the trial. In the mess. He's right here with us, right? And as I got to go, you know, and for those of you guys that haven't heard this or haven't told, I remember when Ron first witnessed me. We had a little Toyota sports car, Corolla, whatever it was. We're in there, and I'm sitting in the passenger seat, and he's over here, and he goes, "So you think you're going to heaven?" I said, "I'm a pretty good guy. I think so." And he goes, "Well, do you know how you go to heaven?" And I go, "I don't know, be a good guy." And he says to me, he says, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God?" And I looked at him and, "Whore, don't you?" Because I thought maybe he was going to tell me that he didn't. But he was witnessing to me. He said, "Of course I do." He was died on the cross. I said, "Of course." One thing about growing up Catholic, you were taught that. I mean, you really are. You believe it. You believe it. And but what I was never taught was that there was a relationship that I could have beyond, bigger than anything I could have ever imagined. This stuff we're talking about, who knew Genesis was the first book in the Bible? I didn't know. How many books are about? I don't know. How many words? I don't know. But it takes time, right? We get to know him. And he asked me, he said, "Do you believe that he was raised by the power of his Father?" I said, "Yes, I do." He goes, "You're saved." And he showed me Romans 10:9. And I believed it. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. I believed it. I started going to that Bible study with those guys, and one of the guys that used to come years and years ago came here. And somehow this had satellited out into Colorado Springs, and I couldn't get enough of it. Couldn't get enough. And I saw this. When they started telling me about this vital truth, it made, I mean, honestly, in my head, even the natural, it makes sense. That if you can love someone so much, that you would marry them. But spiritually, it took off of me like a rocket. Amen. A rocket. And it's like our brothers always say, it's like drinking water out of a fire hydrant. It's going to blow you away. As I started to get to understand it, I started seeing this truth and starting to get to this. I think that in 1 Corinthians chapter 20, I'm going to read it, or I'm sorry, 15 verse 20. I'm going to read this to you. And because grace, I could see grace for salvation then. I could see that. I should probably even at the very beginning didn't quite get that you couldn't lose that salvation, but I felt secure. I mean, he's God. Jesus, he got me. I mean, why would he discard something that he took in? And that's the way I saw it then. There's no way that when you're first born again, you understand that there's a life that lives in you that's not you, it's him. No way, day one, do you understand that? I mean, I think there's Christians all over the world that never have gotten that. They're saved and they fight for that salvation every single day. When you should fight for growth. Amen. You should ask for growth. You don't even have to fight for it. Just ask. Amen. Just ask him. I want to know. And he'll put it there. That word cannot return void. And I'll tell you this about this. This, I think, in my estimation, I still think this is maybe the most powerful verse in the Bible. And to me, it's certainly the most sobering. Because when Jesus did what he did, and for the purpose that God had in this, and for what it was going to provide him and give him and bring this whole will of God together, and that we're a part of it, is pretty amazing. But it takes a lot of time to really grasp what this is. So this is what this says. Verse 20 says, But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Do you know this is a military term? To rank. Military. Paul used a lot of military terms. I can tell you, Paul was a very, very, very military type person. He was going to be his way. Can you imagine him prior to Damascus, the road? But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. Remember with Joseph and Pharaoh? When Pharaoh saw all the incredible things and saw God, literally saw God in him. You said that the other night, that he was with him. And Pharaoh took off that signet ring. That wasn't me. Yeah, you see him. I think it's the raccoons. Pharaoh takes off that signet ring and places it on him. And except that I'm Pharaoh, you're in charge of everything. This is exactly what's happening. It says, for he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he, God the Father, is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
This is the thing. When I first read that, and this is what I'm going to talk to you about. This is what I was talking about in grace, but we were at the convention. This is how grace grows in us. When we first start out in this, we don't get grace. There's no way. Because God has to show us. God has to reveal this stuff. I mean, if you look up the word mysterion, it's mysterion. right? It means that it has to be shown at a time and a place and by someone that's illuminated with his Holy Spirit to understand. That we cannot apprehend it in the natural. It's one of the prettiest and most beautiful definitions of any word in the Bible, I think, in my opinion. That to be illuminated by him, for him to be able, illuminated by his Holy Spirit, to grasp these deeper things that the Holy Spirit brings to us, right? So when I first read this 35 some years ago, I thought to myself, from Jesus' side, why in the world would you do that? I mean, seriously, I want you to think about this, because I mean, I was sitting there, and I'm a Christian months or whatever old. I mean, you're equal with God. Why would you step down? Why would you do that? As grace starts to grow in us, we start to understand the love of Christ. We start to understand the manifold grace of God. So as we start getting down there and start growing in this, the more and more and more that I studied, the more and more I saw that this bridal truth, that this plan of God, not even understanding yet that he said that we were part of it to fulfill that word, to fulfill that plan, that you, every single one of you is here and to sit there and to finish this course means you are fulfilling the word of God, because you are incorporated, you are a part of it, you are a plan. I started to realize at a certain point that this is making sense now. So Christ isn't stepping down. It's just a step. It's a change. It's a new. We took about this little capsule in there, and this whole giant eternal line always has been, always will be. And then creates us in this little capsule along this thing and gives us time. And gives us time that we're going to go through the ages. Starting with the innocence, conscience, everything that we go through, all the way through to this, to come with one single thing out of it, a bride for his son. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. I get chills thinking about this, because for the joy that was set before him, I talk to Christians today, too, that they go, well, Jesus was just born then, right? That was the beginning of him, right? No. Can you imagine that it's almost incomprehensible that he always knew this. He always saw. I mean, it's not God's fault. He knew what you'd choose. And I can tell you this too, us not finishing this race, or us not making it to that point, or us giving up on it, or stuff like this, is not for lack of simple direction.
Amen.
It's right here. Amen. Simple direction. The simplicity that is in Christ, right? That we can grow in this grace and knowledge by staying in it. Putting him first. I want to be in that bride. Oh, I love calling him bridegroom. I love calling him bridegroom. If we think about everything that God has put together, and I'm talking, there's every pine cone that falls off a tree out there has to do with this. Every blade of grass that grows in any part on this planet has to do with this. What? He created all of this for that purpose. Think about that. Every pine needle on that tree. We talked about this, that last year. I brought the pine cone in a couple of years ago. That one little seed, within that one little seed is all the fullness of the entire tree. All of it. The redwoods out there in California. That seed's this big. And that entire tree was in it. All the fullness of God can be new. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Think about that. It's all in you. We were talking about the Holy Spirit. I was about wanting to be filled. This is so important. Did we get filled the other night? Blessed with all spiritual blessings. We don't have to beg for something that already belongs to us. Amen. We can open our mouths. Hurry, our sister. That blessing is already ours. Every single one of them. And it's a gift from God. And believe me, it's funny. My brother Ron, when he was witnessing to me, he was witnessing to me about the Holy Spirit. And he said, and you can pray in tongues. I said, so you're telling me, I think maybe he said another language. He goes, you can pray another language in tongues. That's what I said. So you're telling me that I can pray in a language that someone else will know. And he was obviously pretty new at witnessing right then too, because he really didn't have a very good answer. And I looked at him and said, let me hear it. His eyes got like that big, and he goes, okay. And he whispered it. What? Do you know that I went home that very night and got filled at the house alone? And I thank the Lord that he decided to talk to me that day. It was the start of a course that is... fills my heart with happiness right now. Happy, happy, happy. It's and we started going to the study, and then when I really, really was getting into it, I just loved it. We were studying at that time Romans, and we got it, and I asked finally. I said, "Where can I get one of these study books?" I thought I'd go to the Bible store or whatever he did, and I'd go get one. And he said, "I'm not really sure where you get them." So there was a copy there, and I took it, and I wrote on the back. It said Grace and Glory, and it had the Missouri address and all this stuff. So I called down there, and I talked to Brother Smith, and I said, I would really like to have that book of Romans, that study book of Romans. So I'd be happy to send it to you. He sent me the entire corn crib, everything they had. I have it to this day. I said, I've read some of them so much to know that that over time they've been edited. It's different than exactly what some of the things, and they didn't change the context, but I can see where some of the changes have been. And it's but I've got notes written throughout those things. I've got notes written on them. I've got notes, and you get a wide margin Bible, and then pretty soon you run out of room on those margins. I don't know if I just don't see as well or if I don't write as small, but everything he's done is this grace started growing, and this grace started growing, and this grace started growing. It started to make more sense what happened in 1 Corinthians 20, or in this scripture, that he would also be subject to. For him to receive and to get, when Joseph got his wife, he didn't pick her. Asenath was presented to him by Pharaoh, the Godhead in the story, right? And I think her name means, they will hate me. If you go and think about this, God is going to present her to him. Look at Eve. Here's your wife. Taken out of his body. A rib out of the body. This is mountain peaks of prophecy. Monumental things that we talk about. That out of a body, out of Jesus' body, a rib would be taken, a rib company would be taken out and presented to him as a wife. Marriage of the Lamb. He said in John 17:5, Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. They were one. They were equal. John 10:30 says, I and my Father are one. Hebrews 12:2, we know this verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's going to finish you. Stand on it. I pray this all the time. At whatever cost, complete me. At whatever cost, complete me. Finish me. I want to be molded the way he wanted me to be molded. I want to be conformed the way he wants me conformed. I want to know the very love of Jesus. This is all scripture. It tells us this. This is how we can come to this. This is how we know it. This is the sobering part to me. After this, Jesus, I wrote this, Jesus will never have the same place of equality, will never have the same place of equality that he had before with the Father. So now think about this. Now as the grace starts growing in me, and it starts really coming around to where I'm understanding it, that's a huge, huge thing. You would never ask anyone to do that. But he did. He said, he called us, and what did we say? I will go. Want it. You jump on that, we'll jump on these camels and ride these things right to him. When he took a step down to become a man for this purpose, it was an eternal step. I couldn't even think of a greater reason to love him than that. I mean, there's plenty of reasons, and they're good reasons. We love him because he loved us first. But I'm going to tell you, the magnitude of what he's doing, he did that, that's incredible. That's incredible. After he reigns for that 1,000 years, he will render that kingdom back. We're going to get to reign with him. We're going to get to be there. We're going to get to see this. This is all going to happen. We're going to see every bit of this. I mean, it baffled me. I was talking about how much I love math and how much I love talking about time, or how much I talk about, think about this. I'm trying to wrap your head around that for a little while. To see it. To think you'd be riding a horse into battle with him?
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Mine's going to be with flames, I'm telling you. It's the most beautiful thing. And I can't even wait. If the Lord tarries another how many years, I can't wait to how much more I get to see about it then.
Yes.
I prefer to see it with him and just have him tell me. But if he tarries, I can't wait to see how much more of this grace keeps growing.
Yes.
In me, in my heart.
Yes.
And to see this. He will render the kingdom back and then be subject to the Father for all eternity. This is what happened with Joseph, and I'm just going to read it to you because Genesis is the Bible in microscopic form. It's all in there, all of it. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and he put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. This is Joseph. Jesus will reign as a man, will reign as God. That is wild. Think about the wisdom and the complexity. I mean, God didn't sit there and go, I wonder how we should do this. He spoke it, and it was. spoke it. I mean, he didn't sit there. They didn't sit there on the chalkboard. Okay. Yeah. If we do this, and then they do this, and then that ain't gonna work. He spoke it. He spoke it. He knew you before he hung a star in the heavens.
Thank you, Jesus.
He knew your choices. He knew you'd be thing one, you'd be thing two. All the power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. Fulfillments. Isaiah 9:6. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Father, Prince of Peace. When we talked about with Seth and with Abel and with Seth, do you know that none of this plan could be carried out if the dead weren't raised? If Jesus wasn't the first fruit of that, none of this works. Can you imagine Satan going, what just happened? He didn't know. He fights all the time to put him on the cross exactly what God wanted him. He was just God's little worker. So I'm telling you, the Father knew. The Father spoke it, and it is, and it will, and it happens. And for God, and I can't remember how you put it, I just was trying to remember, we were just talking outside with the guys. The way he uses this world, the way he uses the ungodly, the way he uses everything around us, the way he uses storms, the way he uses the weather, all this stuff for one purpose. Now, grace in our hearts looks at that scripture and says, this is the perfect will of God. This is the exact design, the exact plan, the exact way it was supposed to be, and everything around us, everything in this world, everything that goes on, everything that's happened, everything that will happen is designed for that. Perfect will of God. Amen. I love you all.